The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, and welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, we scrutinize, and we celebrate The Force Awakens, 1 minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Tony Thaxton from Patreon.com/CloudCitySoundtrack, where I write Star Wars songs every week.
I'm Todd Cooper from I'm in a band called God Collider.
.com?
No.com.
You can just save me $10.
I think we own the thing, but we don't use it.
We lazy dumb.
Yeah, Tony mentioned his Patreon, which I want to encourage everyone to. If you're a fan of novelty songs and you're a fan of Star Wars, you will. I mean, you don't take that as an insult that I call them novelty songs, do you?
Oh, absolutely, I do.
Oh,
songs are very serious.
Every week, he just tears his heart out and puts it on the page.
As of this recording, how many have you written so far?
There's like 70 something.
70 songs about Star Wars, guys.
70 something.
70 something.
And it's only a dollar a month. So, come on.
Could not think of a better deal.
Right?
How many years have you been doing it?
70 something.
About 70 something weeks.
Oh, yeah. So, what was it? A couple years?
A year and a half, something.
I mean, think about that. It's $24 for like 7 albums of songs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for coming on, guys.
Yeah,
thanks for having us.
We're, of course, talking about minute 37 of The Force Awakens. It starts off with BB-8, Rey, and Finn celebrating on their YT freighter. And it ends a minute later with Kylo Ren being told that BB-8 escaped on a YT freighter.
Whitey freighter.
As a fan of the Millennium Falcon, I like that now we get to see angles of it that we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. So basically, the room they're having this conversation in is the same room where Luke does his lightsaber stuff.
Yeah.
But you're seeing it like from the basically where the camera was in the original Star Wars. So I think that's cool.
Well, they built the entire thing, right?
They built that city.
Then they went through like painstakingly went through all the reference shots and like found eventually they like found the guy. Like one of the guys who worked on it, I think, originally.
John Millennium.
Yes.
And his partner.
Stevie Falcon.
Edie Falcon.
I was thinking that.
What?
Edie Falcon.
Oh.
That's better. Steve and Edie.
That's better. My brain must have just shortened it.
But yeah, they like went and like totally went hardcore and like everything has to be exactly the way that it was in these things. And then, you know, all the different iterations, they kind of pieced it all together and they made like, okay, this is the ship. And they built it.
I would pay $30 to go on that set.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Easy.
Where do you think it is?
Easy.
It's in England, I think. Right?
Yes.
Really?
Did they keep it there?
I don't think so.
No, they probably...
not destroy, but I think they take it apart, because, I mean, other stuff shoots on these stages.
Right, though, but I mean, so. Yeah, I guess...
Well, is it modular at all? Do you think
It is modular.
They pack it up and put it in storage?
That I don't know. But it is modular because they have to be able to move the cameras.
Well, yeah.
Right. So that kind of stuff. So
I just picture a warehouse as a bunch of cardboard boxes written in Sharpie. Millennium Falcon.
Gun. Radar dish. Right.
Millennium Falcon 36. Millennium Falcon 37.
Open this one first. Exclamation point. Exclamation
there must point. Be, like, when they get rid of stuff like that, there just must be so many people from the crew dumpster diving parts of that set, right?
I wonder if they like purposely do burn stuff and destroy it just so that it doesn't.
No. You guys aren't thinking like modern capitalists. They take each and every part and they would like saw it into little tiny pieces and put it behind glass and sell it as a signed and numbered limited edition.
Now you're thinking.
Do they?
Yeah. They did that for like the Berlin Wall and you know, the lunar lander and, you know, everything else.
I remember that Berlin
Wall. All things that are far less important than the Millennium Falcon.
It's so fun. When I was a kid, I remember like somebody had a piece of the Berlin Wall and I remember thinking like, I mean, it's cool. It's just a brick. And now, years later, I'm like, that's amazing. And I think even my parents are like, yeah, it's just a piece of a wall. Like, because it's so current, it doesn't seem that big of a deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's like Balazs said, you take anything, bury it in the sand for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, anyway, I know it's because it's been like 1,000 years since the Berlin Wall fell, right?
Yeah,
I think that's
feels like it.
Yeah. is this from your book, the Mind of Balazs?
Yeah, exactly.
The Wisdom of Balazs.
101 quotes.
Right. Everything I needed to know, I learned in Cairo.
Finn introduces himself, calls himself Finn. He doesn't say I'm FN-2187.
He takes a second. Mm-hmm. He takes like a little pause that he's just like, I don't know your name. And he's like, I'm Finn. Mm-hmm. And like, it's good that he, I don't know. He internalizes it. Now I believe that he's Finn. I think in the previous scenes, I felt a little uncomfortable with it because it was just like, you know, Poe is giving him a name. He's like, I'm calling you this. And he's like, okay. And he's like, that's your name. Okay.
I think in all my notes, I wrote FN 2187.
I did too, pretty much
every time.
Until now. Now I'm like, all right, now he's Finn.
No, I think even throughout the rest of us.
Oh, okay.
I think I've usually just wrote FN.
Well, now you're, you know.
I'm on Phasma's side. I think he's a traitor. He's a traitor.
Pro Phasma.
I was thinking it'd be funny if Ray was like, my name is RE1138. She's like, I'm going to call you Ray. How about that?
This is the first time we learn her name, right?
Yes.
Her name has not been spoken.
Yeah,
and
I guess
find
so.
I find it a little, not weird, but she says, I'm Ray, and with her accent, it almost sounds like I'm Ray. It sounds.
This is Omri.
Yeah, like, that's I want him to say. Well, Omri, this is what we need to do.
It is. There's definitely some kissy kissy love times in here. You get the sense that there might be a little falling in love going on. Do you get that?
When I first saw this, I remember thinking like, oh, they're gonna
doink.
They're gonna do it.
You're going to dress up like a clown?
Yes.
I don't think that. I think what they're having a bonding moment, and then the moment that I thought might be him kind of escalating their relationship, I now think that to be, I now understand that as him being, he's about to kind of say, he's about to confess essentially and say he's not really.
You think that's what he's going to say when that gasket blows up?
Yeah. I think he's like, Ray. Like, I think he's going to tell her, like, I'm not really with the resistance. Yeah. I just left. He's going to tell her his whole story. But then it builds from there. And then it's like, okay. Well,
so the thing I'm picking up is not secret love. It's secret stormtrooper.
Yeah,
in the air. I see.
Secret shame.
Secret shame. Oh, the best kind of shame.
This happens to you a lot, though. Like, when you first met your wife, you thought she was a stormtrooper.
Right.
I was like, I'm sure she's
the right height.
She had all the signals were there. She drove an HH8.
Because when target shooting and she could not get one single shot, you're like, she must be a stormtrooper.
Couldn't shoot anything. I was trying to think of characteristics of a stormtrooper. I'm like, she wore a white helmet? I don't know. What else do they, what are they known for? Not shooting well. That's what.
I wrote down, it feels like romance setup.
See, that's, we're the same.
Yeah. So as of this recording, we don't know what's going to happen in episode 9. She doesn't even have a name at this point.
But the more you say, the more people, the more this will pin it down in time. You should just leave it open.
Well, because I didn't want to say, oh, I wonder if they'll get together, because then we'll be like, well, obviously they got together in episode 9.
Right. Yeah, but
I heard you guys. I heard you saying that.
Because I was saying that.
Because we're getting very ahead of ours, because, you know, it seems like now there's maybe even a love triangle kind of setup they've got going on. So.
Oh, with BB-8.
Yeah.
I get it.
It's more of a love sphere.
One of the great things about being me is my brain is so dumb. I can only remember so many things and for so long, right? So I've seen this movie a bunch. I don't remember anything. Do they get together? Maybe. I don't know. It's all new to me all the time.
You're like Memento.
Yeah, the world is always unwrapping itself to me. It's every day as a present of who knows what this is. Every day I wake up next to my wife, I'm like, hi, lady. And she's like, we're married. Oh,
you're
this
that
is great.
Stormtrooper, right? Right.
I didn't recognize you without your helmet.
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
Right. That's what the ladies love to hear.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize you without your helmet. yeah, there's also I also wanted to think about, what does BB-8 know, or what does he believe? Does he know that Finn has been lying, or does he believe Finn? I obviously he knows. I don't know. It seems like he knows that he's never seen Finn at a resistance meeting.
The lunches.
So I guess he knows that he's lying, but he doesn't seem actively hostile towards him, other than the fact that he has, when he had the jacket.
Yeah.
But then he has that thing like, well, Poe trusted him, so maybe I should trust him, but he keeps lying. So it's this weird, I'm surprised there's not steam shooting out from inside of him as he tries to, you know, Star Trek style, like the computer is confused, so it must be malfunctioning.
The paradox of...
Right.
It is. What they does BB-8 kinda, know? Like, they do sort of show him, like the BB-8 kind of responding. It's weird that you can pick up that he is tentative about the situation.
Yeah,
that this robot knows something is pretty interesting.
Well, I guess they haven't really had much chance to like talk since they first met. They've pretty much been on the run.
Yeah. BB-8 and
BB-8 and Finn. Like, he hasn't really had any way to kind of assess him very much. This is really the first time they get a chance to like catch their breath and talk. I guess as long as he's on the way to the resistance base.
Right.
He's like, fine.
Right. Well, then we get speaking of old things, old Star Wars things in new Star Wars, we get a wipe. Or did you have more for Millennium Falcon stuff?
I just have one question. So Rey never goes back after this, spoiler alert. And it made me wonder if Rey had anything that she was like, oh, I wish I had my... Like, if you knew you were going to be leaving your house forever.
Right.
Right.
And then I wonder that about Luke, too, because Luke doesn't take... We don't see Luke taking any baggage or anything like that.
Oh, he takes baggage, all right.
I mean, what she got back at home, her portion? Like, there's nothing... She has nothing back there.
Her little...
Well, maybe that's why portion. She's always like, hey, we have to go back to Jakku, because it's like one thing.
My ID's back there.
Yeah.
I mean, like something, some souvenir of her parents or something, but I guess...
Her little doll.
Yeah,
of
so collector's
star.
Items, looking worth a lot of money now. Luke should have brought his like toy, his little T-16.
Oh yeah,
remember that scene where he should have carried that around for the whole rest of the movie. Then it breaks.
No,
forget it, kid.
Luke's luggage. That would be the. Well, he doesn't have any luggage, right? He doesn't bring anything with him.
That's what I mean. Yeah, he doesn't
at all.
Yeah, granted, his house was set on fire
but
there might be something in there.
Did she have a little backpack?
No.
He has a poncho.
Anakin had a little backpack.
Anakin did have a backpack. Anakin got to take the most of all the Skywalker.
It's with Obi-Wan, too. He doesn't... Well, he's a monk, basically. He doesn't have anything. He has a whole house full of stuff.
He has no attachments.
He doesn't need to bring it. Yeah, no attachments.
Well, that wizard's just a crazy old man.
Right. Plus, he probably skipped out on rent. Like, that was just like... You know, do you think he owned that place? Or do you think he was renting that place? Obi-Wan.
He just goes from town to town, like living month to month.
Right.
Skips town.
Goodbye there.
Well, yeah, if the Jedi mind trick works on the landlord, then he can get by. But then he can't.
I like the idea. This is this guy's life. He seems so noble. He's really just a chump. Like, just get around. Just, I know I talk like a wise man, but Truly, I'm just looking for somewhere to lay my head. I do a really great impression.
Good, yeah.
I just found out right now.
It's like Obi-Wan with a head cold.
Yeah, he's like, he's not feeling great.
Right.
And if he is not an owner of that place, he's still writing checks. And he's every month he's like, I'm still writing 0 BBY on all my checks.
Oh, now I'm totally picturing Obi-Wan like Jeff Bridges at the beginning of Lebowski, like Obi-Wan just like going into the local like the Tatooine equivalent of Ralph's,
yep,
and getting like a thing of half and half and writing a check. But they're like, okay, that'll
be a public credit.
Yeah, it's like, you don't need $12.38 for this bag of groceries.
I like to picture Yoda paying rent for that stupid cave. Like, he's like, there's some swamp monsters like, it's due again, Yoda. Every month, you know. Like, he rides every month for it.
Leaking my roof is. When will you fix it?
These are the things I want to see. These interactions between landlords.
Star Wars landlords. That's our new miniseries right there.
Who is the worst tenant that we see in the? I guess Kylo Ren we're about to see is bad.
Oh,
bad,
yeah, it's tough.
I think the Wampa, maybe. No. If the Wampa rents that place.
That's true.
I like to think that the guy with the snaky head that hangs out with Jabba the Hutt, the blue guy.
Oh, Bib Fortuna?
Yeah, I feel like he's got some skeletons in his closet. Like, he seems cool.
That's
like
racist. Just because he's a Twi'lek, suddenly no, you're like, oh, he must have bad things about him.
He's got his stuff together. I bet he goes home to, like, an impeccable, like, studio apartment. Like, he's got he doesn't, like, he's frugal, and he's also just kind of, like, I think everything's super neat and in its place. And
But I bet the downstairs neighbors make noise, and he, like, loses it, and then, like, everyone wants him out of there. Complex.
He's totally.
No one awong up.
He's like, his landlord's like, you're giving me a lot of headaches. Just relax. Your apartment's needing clean. Just shut up. Stop causing problems.
Yeah. Now I want to see Bib Fortuna as Felix Unger and Malakili as who should be Jack Close? Should be Oscar Madison in that?
Like Watto maybe. Watto shows up. I just want to add Watto to more things.
No one know Watto
because Watto shows up and he's like, "What do you know?" They know each other. They were in the box. They watched the pod race together. So they're friends from way back.
They have something to talk about. Mm-hmm. Something in common.
Let's all right,
so now we have a wipe.
Let's talk about.
Now we have a wipe. Wipe to Star Destroyer.
Is that just wipe left to right? Or what do you make a note of? What?
Yeah, I think it's just a standard right to left wipe, I think. Right? Non-special, nothing crazy wipe. It doesn't go with anybody's body or anything like that.
Hooks his eye.
Hex's eye. So wipe to the Star Destroyer, and then we get this is one of my favorite guys. We saw him briefly before, and I think I just talked about him for briefly, but one of my favorite of the new First Order officers is Mitaka. Lieutenant, I believe, Mitaka.
I wrote down some stuff.
Are you talking about
you're
British,
texting him?
British yeah. Joseph
hey, what rank
show?
Are you? Yeah.
Dofeld Mitaka.
Exactly. Dofeld Mitaka.
Wait, Dofeld?
I guess that's how you say it.
That's what his friends call him.
Dofe.
What's up, Dofe?
I'm giving you new. I guess I have to do this one because it's more of like a design Photoshop. It's not really a drawing thing, but I don't know. We'll see. But I want Dofeld, but written like Seinfeld.
Oh, man. We won't be able to keep those in stock.
No. That's.
He is a lieutenant. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, he's a lieutenant.
Maybe you should do it, but have like Jerry Seinfeld and Kramer and all being different people.
All being First Order officers?
Yeah, or any various appearing.
We'll have to see.
We'll workshop.
We'll do some research, yeah. But I want that very 90s kind of like oval and, serifed font. Whatever.
Got it.
And he's saying, what's the deal with spaceship food?
You can't, I know you can't get sound effects on a shirt, but the font, font should be that bass sound.
Right.
The font should be the visual equivalent of
That's
the bass in between on the Seinfeld business.
I don't watch a lot of Seinfeld, but I that rang true. That was an excellent bass loop.
Maybe be like one of those greeting cards. Sting. You know, when you open the greeting card, it does that. Just have that be on the shirt. You just press it.
Yeah. If you lift your armpit.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, there you go.
Because here's the scenario. Somebody sees you and they're like, hey, what is your shirt? And you just raise your arm and just burp, and you're like, okay.
You have a mouth. You could just say, you could just say it's a Seinfeld Dofeld shirt.
Right.
Especially when it starts running out. It's a burr, burr,
burr, burr. Can you wash that?
No.
No, it has science in it.
That's what because it's the person asking that. Like, can you wash that?
I like how they still have to wear it, but they're still like, no, I can't wear it.
Don't get
I can't
so wash close. It.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So Mintaka, played by Sebastian Armesto.
Do you know from anything else?
The one thing that I know that I saw that he was on, there was an episode of Doctor Who where it was like a parody, essentially. Like there was this futuristic extrapolation of British game shows, and there was like a Weakest Link kind of game show where the people, if you got eliminated, you died, and it's all. And he was somebody named Braun, I think, on that. But I remember he played the same kind of guy, like that very kind of like frightened, you know, Weasley kind of guy on that. Same,
poor guy, poor
that's,
actor.
That's his stock in trade.
Typecast as a scared nerd.
Right.
That's the role I was born to play.
Yeah, there you go.
Just a scared weasel is like, that's what I want. That's where I come in hot. That's where I
could totally, you could do a good like guy who betrays the squad in a sci-fi movie, something like that.
Totally,
It's like, oh, we liked him, and I guess he's the guy who sold us all out.
Yeah, that sniveling, like, I don't know, they couldn't do them.
Yeah.
Dead. Well, that guy gets killed.
They offered me a car, man.
I picked that up about your character in the container store commercial. You were a real coward in that.
You were about to sell out the family.
There's a lot of crying in that last shot that they cut.
You were in a container store commercial?
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
Big time. My parents saw it in Virginia.
Wow.
Yeah, I do pretty good.
Oh my gosh, I'm all nervous now.
Yeah. Oh, I know the container store people.
Wow.
They're from Texas.
Alex is a little too shy to ask, but will you sign his notes when we're done recording?
His what?
His notes. Will you sign them?
I thought he had some sort of like shelf or something I could sign.
Will you bring sign his plastic bin?
You bring my cedar shoe tree?
Cedar Shoe Tree was actually a bounty hunter.
That guy must be like, what kind of nerd superpowers that guy have to be in Doctor Who and Star Wars?
That's the new, like,
that's a lot of people.
It used to be, you know, everybody was in Superman, James Bond. You know, there was a lot of stuff that filmed around the same time. Superman, James Bond, you know, the Star Wars movies. And then I think the new ones, it's all Doctor Who and Game of Thrones. Those are the two big ones.
It's interesting. It's like they know what they're doing.
Who, oh, the Brits?
The casting people.
Oh,
the yeah. And the Brits.
Yeah.
Yeah,
these dirty Brits. No, no, they know what they know that people who care a lot are like, that's the guy from, like, it gives it street cred. Right.
You said they're doing this for our sake.
What's this?
They're doing this for our sake.
Absolutely.
They're like, oh, you know what? Those nerds of the podcast are going to love this. Let's get the guy.
There's no doubt in my mind that, yeah, like somebody from Doctor Who, absolutely.
Right.
I would love it if the person was like, in the background, you'll notice there's one Imperial officer from Star Wars, one Imperial officer from Doctor Who, and one, you know, like these three guys are together in the back, you know, just as a strictly just to appeal to hardcore.
Oh, I'm sure that happens.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I love it when shows rely on that kind of meta.
Right.
Meta level of like, oh, we knew them from some other show, and now here they are together at the same time.
Yeah. Like when they brought in Scott Baio to replace
Henry Winkler.
Henry Winkler on Arrested Development.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I think on, remember that show, Third Rock from the Sun?
Mm-hmm.
I think they had William Shatner showed up, and because John Lithgow and William Shatner were in that. There's a man on the wing of this plane. Yeah, story. Yeah,
Twilight Zone.
They
were both in that.
Well, Shatner was in the original one, the TV show, and John Lithgow was in the movie.
I didn't realize that Shatner was in the original.
Yeah. Oh, he's in tons of Twilight Zones. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Three, maybe.
Well,
that's a lot.
That is.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty good.
I agree.
Good job, Will.
I like that.
I also want to give props to Kylo Ren's slow turn. Because when Mataka comes over and it's just like, we think that they escaped, and he just does this like, like very like,
what?
So good.
Someone now, that's what I want. Someone, please re-edit that and add a Tim Allen.
Yes. Speed it up, and I'm like, yeah.
I wonder if you could. Oh man. Now I want to see like how many Tim Allen noises and or lines could you add to, because Kylo Ren is a blank slate until he takes the mask off.
And Chewbacca.
So. Oh yeah, Chewbacca. We did the one David Lee Roth Chewbacca sounds, but
I forgot about that.
Could they add it in a fence in front of that guy too? So we just
stay. Mataka comes in.
Mataka behind a fence.
Behind a fence. this is becoming a whole different show, but I like it.
I like what we're doing. I like what we're writing here.
Yeah.
This is like how you sell shows now in LA, is like you just go in and pitch a mashup. That's what all TV is anymore.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So
yeah.
We go in and we go, okay, it's The Force Awakens meets
Home Improvement. On acid.
Why? Because it's great.
I want to pitch. Here's a show where they take the people in the Korean War and take a tent and they attach a bunch of balloons to it and they fly it away. It's a mashup of MASH and Up.
Oh, wow.
I'm surprised none of you jumped on that before. I thought you knew where I was going and you were
you
building
up
your score.
When you pulled the mic away with pride after you said that was what... I think that's the visual thing that bothered me most.
It was hot when I finished.
You should have dropped it, really.
It was very like Elvis level. Like you look away, catch your breath, to throw more stink at it after.
What did you guys think of Kylo Ren? Remember the first time you saw it? Like your impression, or do you like him in general? What's the deal?
I do. I think he's great. I was a little skeptical going in, so I was never really a big fan of Girls, the show.
Girls, colon, the show. Right.
And
Girls, colon, the show.
It's not TV, it's HBO.
You guys like Arby's?
Oh my word.
Need a minute.
So you like Kylo Ren okay?
Yeah. I think he's I thought he was great, and I think he's I'm curious to see where they go with him in episode 9, because I feel like I don't think he should be redeemed.
I hope he's not.
I hope he's not also.
Because also, if everyone gets redeemed, doesn't that kind of take away from it? If like everyone who turns evil turns good again, isn't it kind of like, oh, he's got the flu, he'll be okay in a little while? Like,
right.
Because I think he's truly good at being this villain, and I don't think he should be redeemed.
I can see not a full redemption, but like him having like a brief change of heart and sacrificing himself to kind of like save somebody.
Mm-hmm. That feels right.
Something like that. Where it's
I
just
feel like that's probably what they will do. I don't want them to.
I would settle for a late in life awareness and then just sort of a crusty old version of him being like, it's too late. What do you want? Like, right. This is who I am now. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm wrong, but like I'm on board for that too. But you're right. That is what it is for sure.
I don't know.
I like we'll Kylo see. Ren. The first time I saw him, I did have a problem with his mask a little bit. It's the exact same thing that we keep saying. It's the black tie fighter. Mm-hmm. It's all the things that are like, I shouldn't want to like this, but I do think it's cool. Like the mask is like, it's a lot, but it works out to be very cool. Mm-hmm. And I like that dude. I think he's...
They spent a lot of time on the perfecting the mask and like getting it, like they went through a lot of design iterations and all that. And I wonder how they felt about just kind of, then the next movie, it's just like one scene. It's like, take that stupid thing off. And it just gets...
And he wrecks it.
Yeah, and then he wrecks it.
But do you think that was a choice just for the sake of, well, we have this actor that's great in this role and we shouldn't hide him behind a mask the whole time?
Partially. I mean, I think, you know, a good part of this was that was like a reveal, right? That he was, you know, he was in the mask a lot. And then when he takes it off, then he becomes kind of more human. And then his character becomes more like, oh, conflicted. So I don't know. I don't know if that, you know, well, it's a good balance of both, I guess. It's storytelling and, hey, let's get this guy on screen. Let's get his face on screen.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if there are any kind of like behind the scenes, like, managers talking to, like, cutting deals with the movie, like, oh, he'll do the movie, he needs X percentage of time not behind the mask, and that kind of thing.
Right. Not behind the mask?
Yeah, like...
I definitely think that's
right,
the thing.
That must be.
All those Avengers movies, everyone is constantly taking their masks off in the middle of battles. Hey, Superman, where are we? Superman. You know, Superman from Return of the Sith?
Yeah.
Well, like, Iron Man and Spider-Man, they're all taking their masks off all the time.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, anyway.
Well, I would almost want the opposite. Like, if I was, you know, I'd be like, oh, yeah, just throw, like, make it all CG or have a stunt double or something, do it all. I'll just come in for, like, a day's work to do the parts where I'm not wearing the mask and I'll just do some ADR. That. Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Brando, I weep for the world that he missed out on, where he could just lazily be in so many different movies now.
Oh, he could have been voicing.
I know.
He could have been CGI characters.
Yeah, exactly. Forever.
Just a glass of scotch and a cigar in a room.
Right.
Like, although I think
he piped him in from Tahiti or whatever.
He was one of those guys who had himself like scanned,
right,
so that they could make a 3D computer image of him.
Right.
Brando, is that right?
Yeah, that's true.
Really?
So we can see him on tour with Amy Winehouse later this year.
And Tupac.
Right. It's like his this like a more recent death mask. Is that what they call those? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like,
oh man. Yeah. So now I totally, what I do want now is like I want an Alexa, basically, except it's like hologram Brando from the Fortress of Solitude. Where I could be like, you know, if I'm like, oh, Alexa, what's the weather like today? And all of a sudden, like holograph Brando shows up and it's just like, it's partially cloudy. Like, I can't do a good, like, partially cloudy with...
sound effects are more your thing.
Yeah, sorry. It's partially cloudy.
Oh, now you're doing the guy from 30 Rock. What's his name?
William
French
Shatner.
Stewart?
Huh? No. William Shatner?
Yeah, from 30 Rock.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking Third Rock.
I can't do it. I can't do names. I can't remember them. I told you, that's every day is new to me. I don't know anyone's name. I see him once, done.
You know what I was thinking? You know, we started a new Saturday Patreon show.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like a recurring thing we can do is we can have people speculate as to what's going to be in episode 9.
Oh.
That way it'll be on the record, but it's not in the actual episodes proper.
Right.
All right, we'll think about that.
Yeah, well.
Make a note of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have for minute 37. Do you guys have anything for minute 37?
I didn't really. I had a thing, and then I realized that I was rereading it, and I was like, you know what? This isn't worth talking about. So, no.
That's not
Come on.
I will say it always looks worse in your notes when you write something.
Well, it literally was just copied and pasted from
Star Wars
Wikipedia.
Dumb.
But it's about our friend Dofeld Mataka.
Dofeld?
Dofeld. It just says... The cuff title on his left sleeve reads Power in Aurabesh to commemorate Kliss Power, a notable admiral in the Galactic Empire Navy who fought in the Galactic Civil War. Dofeld Mataka wore a uniform with the officer's surname on it, designating him as a lieutenant. And then here we go, moving ahead, it says when DJ in Last Jedi.
Right.
I know, I hate that his name is DJ.
Oh, I thought you were going to say DJ Tanner from Full House.
Yeah.
When DJ infiltrated the Supremacy with Resistance members Rose and Finn, he wore a stolen uniform with the Admiral's name on it.
Oh. Admiral Power?
Yeah. So they both...
Admiral Power!
That does sound like he was made to be a... evil right. dictator.
Yeah, I mean,
Admiral. Or actually, no, it sounds like a supervillain.
Yeah, or like a cartoon pitch creature.
Yeah,
like Captain Crunch, Mr. Clean, Admiral Power.
It's like a mashup between Captain Crunch and Mr. Clean.
Don't say mashup. I'm gonna go.
Might be a professional wrestler.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, then. I guess that'll wrap things up over here. Hey, you guys, guess what? We have a little store on the internet. If you go to StarWarsMinute.com/merch.
A little mom and pop shop.
Support little mom and pop shops like us. And, you know, all our designs are up there. You can get them on t-shirts. You can get them on phone cases. You can get them on tapestries. You can get them on mugs. You can get them on travel cups. You can get them on stickers. You get them on onesies.
Right.
And other things, too.
I wanted that to keep going.
notebooks.
Notebooks. Mm-hmm. Hardcover notebooks. Mm-hmm.
Spiral end hardcover.
Tote bags.
Shoelaces.
Pillows.
Trapper
keepers. No shoelaces. No Fanny trapper. Packs. Trapper keepers are a registered trademark of the Mead Corporation.
Oh. You actually owe them folders. $40 for just saying it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Tough.
I'm good for it.
Trapper keeper.
Yeah, baby. I got money. Trapper keeper.
The good news is, though, they'll send you a trapper keeper.
Ooh. It's actually just their way of scamming you into buying a trapper keeper.
Okay, here's the option. You can either pay us $20 and get nothing, or buy a trapper keeper.
Which design do you want on your trapper keeper?
Oof. I mean, I think
horses running through a river.
Don't talk to Todd about horses.
I think I've proven that's mine. I want a
race car on mine.
Man, oh man, you're pulling this very specific one. That's exactly what I remember, those ones. I remember that one.
They made licensed ones, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I got to go California Raisins then.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
I remember I had
the timing would have worked, too, the same era and everything.
Yeah.
I had an inside folder inside my Trapper Keeper that clipped into the three-ring binder.
Like a trapper. That's what those... The folders were called trappers, and then the Trapper Keeper was the binder that held all the trappers. It kept all your trappers.
That makes sense.
But don't trapper and keeper basically kind of mean the same thing? Like something that's...
Yeah. The trapper is the folder, and then the Trapper Keeper is the...
Is that right? Are you being serious?
Yeah.
Trapper keeper. My trapper had Michael Jackson on it, and it was...
The King of Pop?
The very same.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure that it's one that was that is meant for like junior high girls to buy. But like he was looking like it wasn't like cool Michael Jackson. It was like cute Michael Jackson. He was wearing like a yellow outfit.
Like he was sweater? Kinda, was he wearing a sweater?
Yes, he was.
There you go. Sensitive Michael.
Yeah, right. That's right. Sensitive. And yeah. And I was like, there's my man Michael Jackson. He goes in my Trapper Keeper. But yeah. I didn't get made fun of it because it was still Michael Jackson, but I feel like people are like, cool, I don't know. Yeah.
Now it would be cool.
Oh, right, yeah.
It'd be doubly cool because A, you'd have an ironic Trapper Keeper, and B, it would be Michael Jackson on it.
Right.
If you walk through Silver Lake or something around here, everyone's got a Trapper Keeper now. Everyone's like, what'd you put in your Trapper Keeper?
All right, well, thanks for coming back on the program, guys. We will be back tomorrow with minute 38 of Star Wars Minute.
Where's Minute?